Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Happens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me, as always, is the wonderful, the hilarious, the indigo, yellow, green, blue, red, orange, all spectrum of the rainbow, Aurud, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Prick Spasher podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello. My aura is everywhere.
Just like Michelle Branch sang.
Oh, good. What an episode.
My aura is just shooting all sorts of colors as well, because Monday night on Bravo was absolutely phenomenal. But it was all, my aura continues to specifically shoot the color of, I guess, a tealish blue, light blue, which would be our color, because we still have a few tickets left for our live show. We are getting to the last few. So if you're on the fence, get off that fence and come see us in San Francisco on November 4th at Social Hall San Francisco. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, guess what? We're doing a live show in San Francisco, so you should buy a ticket. That's why we plug this every day, because we never know what new people we're getting. So, yeah, that should be super duper fun. We're going to do a little after party afterwards. Get to meet and greet all the listeners. We always love meeting you guys, seeing you guys, hearing what you have to say, getting drunk with you guys afterwards, taking photos, group photos and stuff. That's going to be one hella good time.
There are some memories that just never go away, and one that will never go away is when I walked into the after party of the LA show at that Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And you were dancing on stage in a giant sombrero. Like Shannon and her sombrero depression scale.
But Ronnie, this time when there's the after party, you have to come inside because you have a tendency when you get to the after party, you decide to light up a cigarette and then you wind up out there for 45 minutes and everyone asks me, where's Ronnie? Where's Ronnie? So I'm going to demand that you come inside first and then you go outside to do your cigarette.
Okay.
I'm haranguing you. Official.
At every
official
party,
harangue.
I'm outside smoking cigarettes. That's the only reason I restarted smoking cigarettes, was so I don't look like a weirdo hanging out outside.
He just likes being outside. So anyway, that's going to be really amazing fun. And I'm excited because I've got friends, I've got family up there, and a bunch of them are coming to the show. So I'm excited to show them what we do, because I don't think our friends and family necessarily always understand what we do. They sort of appreciate it, like, oh, you have a podcast, that's cool. Oh, a live show, that's nice. They don't understand it. And then they come to the show, and, you know, our listeners are absolutely amazing, and they scream and they yell, and they make it, like, this unbelievable sensory overload experience, and everyone always leaves being like, oh, my God, I never been to a show like that. I didn't know podcast shows could be like that, so...
Yeah, I think one of the greatest gifts the listeners have ever given us is to make my parents like happy at a live show. Thanks, guys. Thanks for healing so many wounds.
Your parents should come to one.
Oh, they will. They'll be at one. Don't you worry.
I mean, they were at like our Austin show. It was sort of smaller, but the big shows. I mean, my parents became converts. My parents were like, "Whoa, wait a second! You've actually been doing something with your life."
Yeah, my parents. A lot of it is just I'm like, don't come because I like to sleep. Okay, I mean, we do those live shows. I'll sleep all day, do the live show, drink all night, and then take an extra day to sleep all day the next day.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like getting up, having lunch, bonding. I don't like that. I like sleep. Okay.
Well,
that's my main mother, sleep. But I want to do it where we can have. I really want to do a weekend in Vegas where we can have our family, our friends, mm-hmm. and just do a really long weekend party in Vegas, do a show, yeah, and then stay there and just play craps. Oh yeah, just be at the buffets every day. Like, what'd you eat off the giant world buffet? You know, where did your food poisoning come from?
Well, the good news is that we are putting together a 2018 tour. Not just putting together a show, a tour, and who knows where we'll stop. But we are just a mini tour, but we're hoping to get 4 or 5 cities lined up, and we're talking to various venues in various cities. And once they're all lined up, we will then make an announcement from the mountaintops, and hopefully everyone will buy tickets and come and support us and help us grow the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But for right now, let's grow our auras, shall we?
This episode was killing
Orange County, specifically.
Both of them. Orange County and Dallas were both effing hilarious last night. And it was really especially good to see Orange County firing on all of its cylinders.
I know. I actually felt bad because Orange County was like, okay, we're going to finally bring a really good episode. And then Dallas is like, okay, we see a really good episode. And we're just going to raise you like 10 times.
Yes. And OC... I'm writing down things at the beginning because I'm expecting it to be, you know, like Lydia shopping with her mom or something. Yeah. So I'm writing down every little thing. And to see my expectations at the beginning, my first note is, we've gone all in on Nobleman. What does that mean? Like, how do you go all in on Nobleman? To seeing where it ended, I was like, wow, it's quite a journey.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, OC.
Basically, we see Lydia talking. Lydia tells Doug that she was talking to the godfather of Iceland named Frederick. And she wants to go to Iceland, and Doug's like, well, why don't you go to Iceland with your girlfriends and you can promote the magazine? And she's like, really? Wow. And so he's like, but you're gonna go to ice, but you're gonna be representing the magazine, so like, be good.
Don't forget, you're writing an article for Nobleman.
Yeah,
Lydia, I'm so sure.
She's like, am I an idiot? I'm like, well, you did invest in a magazine that's 2017, so you can answer that one.
I know. It's like you hear America all agree on something at one time. It's like the earth shook.
Yeah. She's going to, like, resurrect Spy Magazine next. So,
and next up, Deco and Peggy are just having those wild new American scene, that wild American scene, yeah. Where he's like, oh, kids, what is this bougie?
And Gia's like, bougie, you know, it's just like, it's like extra. Like, we were the most extra kids. And Peggy goes, what are extra kids?
Like, his name is Coco, okay?
Oh, and Dico's like, you know, slang, you know, like, don't judge a book by its cover, or double-edged sword, slang.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato.
What is this tomato?
I'm like, technically those are sayings and not slang, but okay.
Yeah, Deco doesn't know either. I'm like, you guys need to stick to the game, okay? Deco, you just didn't know what bougie is. You can't get on your wife right now. And then Peggy's like, I'm Armenian. I make food for me. That is my slang.
So then we go, we're at Tamara's house. She's in her bedroom at her like queen bed that's like overflowing with pillows that all have like affirmations on them, like love you to the moon and back.
Oh my god. Like,
so she's the one who gets them at TJ Maxx. She's the one.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, and she has some stuff up on like her wall.
Yeah, those glitter things sewn all over it. Ugh.
She had like one of those faux artisanal things on her wall. It was like a wooden, it looked like reclaimed wood, but it's things are written on it. I couldn't see the whole thing that was written on it, but it basically has a saying like, love the ones you're with, and every word is in a different font, as if that somehow makes it more thoughtful or interesting. Like,
that
look,
is so, it's cursive, yeah.
And now
that
it's serif.
That is so... Now it's Helvetica.
There's so many ways to express love, batch.
That is so Housewives art. Just different font work.
Yeah. they're not really into art. They're just into graphic design. I love some good vector imagery, batch. I want a vector fleur-de-lis. So she's on the
vector
phone.
Vector Victoria, batch!
I told you I was going to get a delivery. Did you hear Bueller?
I hear Bueller getting very excited about a Vector Victoria joke. I will pause
the
podcast.
I have to get it.
This random interruption is brought to you by our super premium Patreon sponsor, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster. Okay, we're back. Ronnie got his package. I'm excited because I'm also getting a UPS delivery today, Ronnie. I didn't want to one-up you, but I am.
Well, you can't one-up this because I got two amazing things right now from UPS.
What?
I got my new iPhone.
Whoa.
And I got my paper plates.
Well, that is pretty strong, but I'm going to come in with some heat right here because today I'm getting my new Instapot cookbook by Melissa Clark of the New York Times. So,
whoa.
I don't know. It's pretty exciting, you know, because her book, Dinner Changing the Game, has really changed my game.
Well, I'll look that up, and I'll look that up on my new phone, and you can give me some leftovers that I can eat on my brand new paper plates.
Absolutely, and I'm just going to go do something like spend some extra $450 that I have.
Yeah, party!
From not buying a new iPhone.
I know, I'm ridiculous. And I really, it was a preventative measure because the iPhone 10 comes out at the end of October, and that's ridiculous. That's way too much.
Yeah, I refuse. Like,
if you buy this one, then you can't buy that one, even though this one's exactly the same as your other one. Okay, it's like saving money by spending money.
Yeah.
I'm becoming my mother.
Well, speaking about people who spend money and are getting new things, Tamara. So she's on the phone with Shannon, and Shannon's like, well, you know, I talked with David about the questions, and, well, it turns out that David wasn't grilling Deco. He was merely asking questions out of concern.
David does not grill things, unless it's chicken, just to piss me off.
He always saying it's like the way they do it at Mastro's. Like, I give a damn about Mastro's. It's okay, because his food is so good. I'm so happy. Ha, David, grill away, grill. Grill it. Use Mastro's seasonings.
When David grills things, David is a lot of things, but he is not a bad griller. When David grills things, there are little diamond char marks on my chicken breast, which is depressing, but also fantastic tasting with a little mayonnaise or ranch. Whichever you prefer. And Tamara's like, I can't take this anymore.
Tamara's saying she's always walking on eggshells around Shannon, but that might be because Shannon's always making her custard.
Yeah, I'm done with this egg.
Throwing eggs at David.
God damn it! How many embryos are we going to kill? Chickens? Are you listening to me, David?
David?
Tamara's... Tamara is still on her turning against Shannon kick, where we just see her starting to turn.
Yeah.
And she's like, Shannon is so difficult. Like, just let it go. She gets so riled up. It's like, bitch, whoa, bitch! You can be upset without screaming. Why do we not have a montage of Tamara screaming? I mean, this episode was so good on the montage angle. Why don't we have one of Tamara screaming?
Yeah.
You know?
That's my opinion, bitch!
Yeah, or what was she saying in Ireland on the bus? Like, shut the fuck up, right? What did she say? She did the whole, like, alien into Sigourney Weaver's face thing.
Yes, little head coming out of the bigger head. Sigourney's just standing there, like, with slime dripping down right in front of her chin.
Sigourney's just like, what? I didn't spread a rumor. I just heard a rumor.
I love Dorinda being an alien.
You mean Tamara? Or Dorinda?
You just did Dorinda voice a little
bit. No, I was doing Vicky. Oh, but it didn't sound like...
I thought it was Dorinda, like,
I saw some pads. I saw these pads. They were opening and closing and dropping slime everywhere. It's Richard! No, it's not. It's Lily. God damn it. Right!
To be fair, Dorinda did reenact a scene from Aliens already when she was stabbing her hand with a knife. Right? Wasn't that scene where they're going through between the fingers? Lisa, we're on a spaceship. We're bored. Got an alien in my stomach. It's about to come out. Gotta play with knives sometimes.
Put an easy patch on that Holland Tunnel. Why can't we just make a covenant?
Hey, alien. Hey, alien. Clip. Clip, clip. No, the alien, that's what I imagined. The alien gets right up in Dorinda's face. The little alien comes out. She's like, clip, clip, clip. Alien's like, whoa. You fool. You alien fool.
That movie would have been over in 5 minutes. Dorinda just terrifies all the aliens.
Yeah. The alien actually recedes into its egg.
Oh, my God. So Shannon is basically, you know, like, well, David didn't do anything wrong. And she's like, geez, difficult, bitch. Look, you can do things without screaming, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Dorinda? Or, okay, Shannon, bitch? And she's like, well, I was tired and I wanted to go. And I was like, okay, now what? Now how am I the villain?
Tamara's just not Tamara's being the supportive hit. Friend that Shannon wants. And then Shannon's like, you know what, Tamara? I'm sorry, my voice is all... After all that Dorinda, my voice is in a weird place. She's like, David,
I'm getting irritated by this. If you don't think I should give this life Tamara, then why? Then stop talking about it, Tamara. I'm having 30 to 40 negative thoughts because you keep talking about it, Tamara.
Yes, and that is a good point, Shannon. And also, you know, this is why you never should have become friends with Tamara.
Yeah.
I mean, Tamara tried to gaslight you with Heather. I will never, ever forget it. When they were like, oh my God, she's crazy. Do you think she's losing it? Oh my God, I think she's losing it, bitch. Shannon's like, oh, ah! Like, yeah. Going crazy at that dinner. Wasn't that her first season?
Yeah, it was her first season when she hated Heather and Tamara.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I can't feel bad for you when you knowingly became friends with Tamara after that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, she's right. Tamara will give it life, and she'd go out to, like, a million different coffees talking about how Shannon always is being so crazy about every little thing. So Tamara will give it life. But to be fair, when Deco confronted Shannon, Shannon should have just been like, oh, okay, well, I'll talk to David about that. I'm sure it was a misunderstanding. And that would have been done.
Yeah, Shannon's just really very, very upset these days. And I can't say I really blame her, but girl, don't expect Tamara to be there to help you.
Yeah, seriously.
Tamara wouldn't even be good on the Bad News Bears. She'd be like, this team is bad. Like, that's the point. We're supposed to get good together, Tamara.
Bad stupid news bears.
Bad news bat. Bad news batch.
So, speaking of bad news batches, we now see Vicky going to see her cardiologist.
Oh my God. My first note was, do you have a cure for a broken heart? Which, of course, she literally says later in the scene.
Yeah, she literally says, do you detect a broken heart?
Do you detect a broken heart?
I gotta go to the cardiologist. My heart is broken! So then she starts this whole, first of all, why can't the lady at the cardiac arrest place reach the top of the desk? Like, you only see her head below the greeting desk. It's like, we're going to work on your heart. You're going to have to lift yourself up every time someone comes in that door, young lady.
It's a very specific critique, but I support it. I like that Vicky, when she's getting her heart checked, she's like, I guess I've had a lot of stress. And they do the ultimate Vicky Gunvalson scream montage. Like, every single major scream from 2007 onwards. Like, screaming at that van, screaming at Gretchen, screaming at Tamara, screaming at Lori, screaming at Whistler Mountains. Just screaming.
You're supposed to be my sister!
A family van? Why would you send a family van? Why would you send a family van? That was the best thing. I watched this 3 times in a row, just laughing my ass off at the Vicky screaming montage.
No, it was great.
I have never been with multiple partners in my life!
It's classic.
It's a classic. A classy classic. Yeah, so she goes to the doctor, and she's just telling anyone who will listen to her, because no one else will shoot with her except nurses,
yeah,
or colonic people, you know? So she's like, well, the situations in my life, they've been hard, you know, because situations add up and it makes my life hard. Yeah, Vicky, it's called living your life, okay? Yeah. It's called being human. And then the doctor's like, well, the doctor has multiple tests to give you. Do you have tests for a broken heart? Or do you have a test to prove that I did not have sex with multiple partners? And the nurse is like, we'll try. And then Vicky says, life is short, especially mine, because I could die at any moment. Like, seriously, broken heart. I'm at about
about fixing my issues before I die. I don't want to die of a stroke because they don't want to be friends with me.
Okay, Vicky, so now you're pre-blaming them for your stroke.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. If you're not at fault for Shannon's weight gain, then Shannon can't be at fault for your stroke. Okay?
For your pre-stroke. Yeah.
Yeah, let's be fair about who we're blaming.
So the cardiologist is basically like, well, I got your results. And I'm not happy with them. Your upper chamber is a little enlarged. I hear an extra noise. But, oh, no, you're fine. You're fine, though. That's okay.
Yeah. And then Vicky starts giving her whole thing. Vicky doesn't even remember what kind of shit she's talking about. She's like,
well, I'm 55. When my mom was diagnosed with blah, 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 and my mom passed at 83. And he goes, how did she die? She goes, I don't know. I didn't do an autopsy on her.
And he's like, okay. So she goes, let me see. Blah, 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 blah. Doctor. He's like, well, you have an extra heart sound. I think it's a block. What is causing it? The upper chamber is enlarged. It's a condition called something refibrillation or whatever. She's like, oh, like my Bob. I think that's what my Bob
yeah, I think that's
like, do you remember is. Or do you know or do you not, Vicky? Like, why do you have to like tell a fib about every single little thing? Just say what happened.
Well, I mean, I think she was saying that's probably what my mom died of. I don't think it was like a major, major fib because her mom had it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Poor Vicky. I guess I just get aggravated because it's so obvious that Vicky's just trying to get any kind of casserole that she can get at this point.
Any casserole. I mean, she'll just like take a lean cuisine at this point. Yeah. Just as long as something is pre-made and she can heat it up. That's all she needs at this point.
I'll take a flatbread.
Do you guys have any Stouffer's? No.
You don't even have to defrost it. Okay.
What about Padma's food? Do you have any of her meals? I'll take anything, really.
Frozen rice. Like, at this point, I'll take it.
What about some green peas? I'll take frozen green peas. That's fine. Jolly Green Giant. I'd like to have a giant Jolly Green Giant in my life.
And she's telling everybody who will listen. She's like, doctor, my life has lots of stress because I've gone through things in my life. And I know you're not a therapist, but I want to be there for my kids because a lot of things have happened in my life. Like Tamra.
Like this one time, they sent a family van and I had to go to the airport. And it's like, that was terrible. One time I went to Lake Havasu and someone threw a football and hit me in the face.
It's the first time my heart hurt.
One time, there was a gay person living in my garage named Frankie and he was a bad tenant. It was a lot.
One time I didn't get my car washed. It was like 2 weeks. It was hard. It was hard. My heart hurt.
One time I went to a birthday party and no one saw me and I was like, hello, it's my birthday party, and no one turned around, and then finally they turned around, and then before they could even say happy birthday, someone spread a gay rumor about Eddie. It's hard.
So next up is Megan, and
you know
she's...
What, before we go into Megan, I would like to do one of my favorite things, which is endorse my favorite mattress, FM Casper mattress.
Casper mattress.
Yeah. Casper is a sleep brand that created an outrageously comfortable mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep service was developed in-house by mom and has sleek design and is delivered in a small, how did they do that size box?
In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. Like, breathable, you know? Like, the sheets can breathe. Can I breathe? Doctor, am I breathing? I've got through a lot of hard things.
David, the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups, just how I've had to pay a high price for David's infidelity.
Casper makes a premium mattress and sells it online for a fraction of what it would cost in a store.
Their business works by continuously developing their mattress using feedback of nearly 500,000 customer batches.
David, real customers have said that the mattress is like sleeping on a brioche, which is delicious. I will eat that mattress. I did eat the mattress. It's strange. And it's like being cradled by the tinkling of baby laughter in the moonlight. Ha! That makes me so happy. It's like, Archie, no, get off the Casper. Archie, David.
Buying the Casper is easy. Order online. It is delivered to your door in a compact box, free shipping, and free returns. It's available in the U.S., Canada, and now the UK. What is this UK?
Considering we spend one third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. Especially, like, it's like having a baby. You want to really know before you have a baby. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out, like a baby.
Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/crappins and using the code CRAPPINS. Terms and conditions apply. That's www.casper.com/crappins and use the code CRAPPINS.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, sleeping comfortably on a Casper mattress. Ha!
Thank you so much, Casper. We love you long time.
We do. Anyway, speaking of sleepy things, Megan. We're over at Megan's house with her friend, Mystic Michaela.
Guys, do not call her Michaela, okay? Her name is
Mystic Michaela.
Yeah. Sounds like a Garbage Pail Kid, but whatever. So,
yes, and she's, you know, she's an Orange County mystic because she's got shoulder cutouts.
And so Megan's like, she's really good. Like, she read my aura earlier today, and we see a flashback of Mystic Michaela reading on Megan, and she's like, because you're so yellow, like, you're connected to your space. And then Megan goes, yeah, I'm really affected by weather, too. And then it just, like, ends the flashback.
You're connected to your space. That's why I keep buying and selling houses. And then taking
the
ex-wife's
name. That's why I live part-time here.
It's like, Mystic Michaela, you know she ain't connected to her space. You know her. Why would you even say that?
Does she mean that I'm, like, literally connected to outer space? Because that's pretty cool. This alien once came up to me and was like, and then little alien head was like, and I was like, and then the alien walked away. I was so bored.
I want to give my friends the gift of Mystic Michaela insight. She's like, I want tonight to be positive because, like, psychics scare people. And Mystic Michaela's like,
yeah. Psychics scare people. That's true.
It's because either of what they're hiding or what they already know to be truth. Hashtag psychic justice.
So the girls start to come over, and of course, Peggy's there, and she does not want to have a reading by Mystic Michaela. She's like, I wouldn't be interested.
And I was like, that's okay.
Yeah. Listen, I know it sounds standoffish and snobbish, but I know what I know. You know? She always looks like she's got a hard candy in her mouth, because she's licking the front of her teeth to feel her lips, which she still can't feel. She's like, I know what I know. In Armenian, we have psychic. What they do? Psychic is God. Psychic is written on forehead. Okay? What is on forehead is what's going to happen. Like, nothing's ever going to happen to you. You've got so much Botox in that goddamn thing. You have no lines there. She's like, I have a blank future. Psychic. Thank you, God.
Explains a lot of her storyline. I know that I know that I know. That's what I know.
I know. The more you know is what I already know.
You know that song, No, No, No? That's actually about me and how I know, no, no. I know that, I know that, I know that, I know. Yes.
So then, Tamara shows up and she's like, Bitch! She's heard so much about Mystic Michaela. And you know that this has this has a chance of being awkward because Tamara has her own shit-stirring psychic.
Yeah.
Okay? She doesn't need someone else bringing in their shit-stirring psychic. She's already got one, and he's given us plot line that's lasted, what, 3 seasons now?
Yeah, pretty much. So she comes in, and then Shannon comes in also. And Shannon, of course, is inspecting the food that's being put out. She's like,
well, there's something fried that's going to be put in here for dinner. I wonder if we'll have sugar, too, just like a gastropub.
Well, thanks for tripping me on my way in with a shaker full of fried things. Possibly in the future. Mystic Shannon, at your service.
It's like Shannon's the mystic for carbs. She can just sense when something fried is going to be there.
I can't read an aura, but I know how to read a tostada bowl. And this tostada bowl says I will be eating in the future.
I can read the flame of a sterno under a chafer dish. Call me mystic.
Don't try to put a cloche on it. I know what's going to be in there.
What is this cloche?
So Peggy's like, I am upset, but this is not the time and the place. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. What is this?
As they say in the language of slang, buggy. Bougie. Boo. Boo. Oh, it's like you scare something and then you're like, gee whiz. Boo. Gee.
Boo.
What?
Boo.
What is it, Halloween?
Boo.
I'm not talking to you anymore. Stop accusing David of grilling!
That's okay. There are extra Shannons to be had.
Nah, I mean, even I know that just means I'm being extra. That's different than there are extra Shannons. There's only one of, never mind, Peggy!
Now, this always makes me feel bad for Shannon, because she really does, and I've mentioned this, I think, every party. Shannon is walking into every party like, hello, it's me! We're going to have the most positive evening together, girls!
Yeah.
By the end, it's just, like, not that at all.
Exactly. So, so meanwhile, over at Kelly Dodd's house, Vicky shows up. He's like, I got a mirror. Vicky's going to hang out with Kelly, because they don't want to... they don't want to hang out with a psychic. They're not into psychics. So Vicky's telling Kelly all about her heart situation, her heart murmur, and Kelly's like, oh my god. Oh my god. Do you think that's how your mom died? Like what you have? Do you think you might die? Do you think you're dying? Are you dead? Is this heaven? My house is all white. It's heaven. It's this cloud's heaven.
And Vicky's like, yeah. Yeah, it is.
I didn't think it'd be.
Yeah, that's where I wrote. I thought you didn't know, Vicky. And Vicky's like, I'm dying, so you know what I want to do before I die young from a stroke or a heart disease, which these ladies are causing me? I want to die, but I want to die after having whooped it up. You want to whoop it up?
Did well, I do one last of... whoop it up? Andales caliente, hashtag. Be on the bed.
The final andale by Vicky. So Meg, back at Megging's,
Mystic Michaela
is reading colors, and Shannon's like, whoa,
well, you read colors, huh?
And she's like,
I do. I see colors around people. And Tamara's like, so by colors, you mean just like a halo? But I'm baptized and also highly prized. Halo!
I can see a halo, halo, halo. I can see halo. Can you please not destroy Beyonce while I read your aura? It's turning it black. That's racist. No, I mean, like, your soul is black. That's what I'm getting now.
And Megan's like, what is the aura? Is it on, like, your foot? Okay, Megan, I get that you're, like, just trying to get the conversation going, but really?
Tamara's like, so when's Rita coming out? Huh? Rita Aura. Isn't that what we're here for? A concert?
Shannon's
Rita
like,
Aura?
No, she's gonna read your aura. This is not a concert with Rita Aura.
Oh. Okay, batch.
What is this, Rita?
What is a Rita Aura? Tom Hanks' wifey?
Is this tomato or tomato?
So are Shannon's like,
my aura is like all over the place. It's like this.
You know, being funny. And Michaela's like, oh, your aura is positive. It's like, oh, my aura is positive, huh? Well, did my aura's aura? Wait, did my husband's aura mean to question Tico's aura about Peggy's cancer aura? I don't think so. I think if you read that aura, you would see that David's aura was just asking oral questions.
I can't help but wonder if maybe David's aura has been walking on the beach with other auras. Could you answer that, please, Mystic Michaela? Could you?
Now, you're good with auras. Are you also good with horas? Because I'd like to ask you some of those.
Like, which direction do you go when you go on a hora? Do you go to the left or do you go to the right? Because every time I do one, it's like left 1 second, right the other, and then you're going in, like, what's the point? At that point, you might just be standing.
I'm looking for a hora detector. Job's open, Mystic Michaela.
So she's like, yeah, yours is indigo in the center and yellow all around it. Wow, so I'm like the Lakers, great.
Is that what you... I think that's what she was telling Tamara, because she goes, maybe. A purple and yellow split.
That means you got balance.
And then Shannon's like, oh, well, maybe because Shannon adds balance. Okay.
You know, the Bravo editors are mean because in the preview for this episode, they made it look like Shannon says to the Mystic Michaela, like, so what's my, I have a good aura, right? And they make it look like Mystic Michaela goes, maybe not so much. But she said that about something else entirely, and I was very upset.
Yes, they also got a couple of clips. They got one clip of Shannon smiling and then looking down really upset, like she gets upset. And they use that, I think, 20 times in this episode.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, she didn't do that 20 times. Like,
yeah.
And also, I have a GIF of it, which I will post later, because it's my favorite Shannon look ever. It's like this genuine smile to,
God, what the hell are they thinking?
Classic Shannon.
Classic Shannon. So Kelly, back at Kelly and Vicky's, Vicky's like, you know what, I don't like psychics, because people will hear a psychic and they'll be like, oh, well, I guess that's the truth because the psychic said it. Guess what? It's not biblical. It's bullshit. That's what it is. It's not from the Bible. No one didn't have a psychic to tell them to get on an ark.
It's
like, actually, no, it was kind of considered a psychic.
But, yeah, like, no offense, like, but I think there are many atheists who would argue that your point stands true for religion, so.
Yeah, Vicky!
Yeah, let's get deep. Let's get deep.
So back at Megan's house, she's like, guys, let's have dinner. You want to eat? And then Shannon just looks like,
oh, God, here we go. Decisions. Big decisions times.
So she just does a sad eye roll.
Yeah. Is this the same catering chef who, I feel like he's done other things for Orange County. Like, did he, like, cater some Color Me Mine party or something like that? I feel like we've seen him, right?
I don't know, because if people on Housewives don't have chefs named like Sexy Z or whatever that guy's name was, like if they don't have a name like that, I can't remember it.
That's true. Yeah. I'm sure he makes a lovely crab cake, though.
Well, I don't know, but he made a damn taco salad. And Megan's like, how do we eat this?
She's like, I don't know what to do. Do I just like cut into the tostada bowl? Do I cut around it? Like, this is hard. This is almost as hard as making rice in the microwave.
Knock, knock.
It's Lydia! Hello. You're Mystic Michaela! Can I be lovely Lydia?
So. And then, of course, guys, this is going to be a shock, but Lydia does not approve of psychics or drag queens or lies or really any the common cold. Lydia's against a lot of things, okay? But she's going to bear it just to get through an episode of the Housewives. You know,
though, I'm okay with that because Lydia came with an attitude. And when Lydia shows up with an attitude, I find her to be very entertaining. So I'm like, you know what? Your problematic views, I'm okay with them if you're going to be a bitch. That's okay.
Yeah, she's like, can you see that I'm about to make Shannon cry?
So, sorry, I have, like, stuffy nose situation happening. Like, I'm over my cold, but, like, occasionally my nose will randomly stuff up, and it's, like, stuffing up right now. And it's, like, I'm trying to press the mute button so you don't have to hear me blow my nose, but it's making it tricky. Yes. So I feel bad because, like, I'll be talking to, you know, like, when you get a sudden stuff? You know, not when your nose is, like, always stuffy, but like you're talking and then all of a sudden your nose stuffs up while you're talking. You're like, so anyway, you know, like you sort of get choked up a little bit.
Yes.
That's what happened to me when I was describing Lydia.
Yeah, there's so many different stages of the cold. You're in your nasal house cleaning now.
I'm like I'm in like the epilogue. I'm in the like the denouement, but where it's like it's mostly open sinus passages, but occasionally like a snot alien gets in there and a little snot alien mouth comes out of the snot alien and it's like, you're stuck now.
Covet it. Yeah, it's like the end of the book where it's about to be over and then it's like, wait, there's a whole other book about the snot finishing coming out.
Snot origin story. It's like, oh, look, this was about Jane Eyre, but now we're reading a book about Jane Eyre. Snot. It's called Wide Snot Sasso Sea.
Snotlian.
Alien versus snotter.
How do we eat this? I mean, Megan not knowing how to eat a taco salad is probably my favorite thing other than the Snot Monster sequel to your life. So Lydia's like, guys, I just wanted to come see if you wanted to have a little girl's trip. And then they show the clip that we just saw 10 minutes ago of her telling Doug, I'm taking the girls. Am I an idiot?
He's like, no, represent noblemen well. As if, like, noblemen is going to have distribution in Iceland, please. Please. So, so she invites everyone, and it's like, yay, Iceland, Iceland. And Peggy's like, what is this Iceland?
What? What is this Iceland?
Is this with Ben and Jerry? Iceland?
That's ice cream, Peggy. And speaking of which, I'll have some more of that.
We didn't even get to the ice cream yet. How'd you get that tub in front of you?
It was in my pocket.
It's my aura. It's not real. It's just an aura. We can all read auras now. Look, you're reading my aura. I'm eating mine now.
They also kept using that record scratch thing. They used it like 4 times in this episode. She's.
I was in when you said Iceland.
When is this Iceland? And Lydia goes, well, the sun doesn't set there. And Peggy goes, okay, I'm in. Okay. Peggy's like for all around day sun or all day sun.
Because I'm so sunny. Can't you see? Sunny personality. Peggy Sunny Sulahan. Sunny. So Lydia's like, oh, I'm going to call. I want to invite Vicky and Peggy and Kim, whatever her face is, Kelly. And I was hoping to be here, but I'm going to call them. So they're like, yeah, sure, yeah, let's call them because we're contractually obligated that they be on the vacation with us. Yeah, call them.
This was the first look where Shannon does the smile then the sad look. She's like, oh, well, I thought this was going to be a fun dinner party.
It's like her green bean automatically wilts for her.
Huh. Me and this green bean got a lot in common. Here lies a green bean killed by Vicky Gunvalson. You killed the green bean! Harry Covert!
So Lydia calls Vicky and Kelly and it's like, hey, you want to go to Iceland? Kelly's like, woohoo! I want to go to Iceland. And Vicky's like, yeah, okay.
Okay. Woohoo. Hoo woo.
Can they heal broken hearts in Iceland?
Do they know how to bend a broken heart in Iceland? Do they? And then they show. Then they do another record scratch where it's like, and Tamara's like, "Well, last time I saw Becca, it didn't go well." And then they cut to
the coffee shop with all the teenagers. Be
like, yes,
you don't deserve my time. You don't deserve my energy, and you don't deserve me. Batch. And Tamara storms out, and then I didn't write it down, but I didn't realize last time that Vicky just laughs at her face, goes, oh, okay, well, there you go. Good one. Have a good walk out the coffee shop.
There you go. So Kelly, once I hang up, Kelly's like, come on, Vicky, Iceland is going to be the jam. And then Vicky, really?
Come on. It's just the company in Iceland that's making me feel crappy. Like, I might have a stroke. Like, I seriously might have a stroke right now. She's like, well, I will never leave you like I was left in Ireland.
And then they show her in Ireland just walking around half drunk, half crying, you know, while you hear Tamara, because Tamara's filming her on her iPhone, I think. Yeah,
Tamara always Tamara, the angel.
Yeah, Tamara's just like, she's crazy. Crazy town. Crazy town. Look at crazy town over there. Crazy town, but...
So Vicky's like, okay, I guess I'll go. I'll dust off my swan dress.
Yeah, because Kelly guilted her. She's like, I'm a Marine. I will never leave a man behind. Unless they're terrorists. Then I scorch the earth or the sea or whatever. Kelly.
So now back at dinner, it's like, fun time. Just out of bowls. Nothing can go wrong now. Our auras are balanced in many colors. And then Peggy's like, I need to talk about something.
Like, yeah, suddenly Peggy knows figures of speech. She's like full of them now. She's like, something is on my mind. I want to lay it on the table because I don't want to bottle it up in.
Double-edged sword, can't read a book by its cover. Shannon's bougie and extra all at once.
Peanut butter, peanut butter. Do you know what I mean?
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly.
I mean, I could have told you that.
So Peggy's like, Shannon, I text you on phone and I call you through phone and you never call back. So I want to know what's going on. Tell me what's up.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
She's like, wait a second.
So then Shannon immediately goes to a 10 and starts waving her hands around and doing this little dance. She's like, oh, well, I am still perplexed about what happened. I spoke to David and I said, did you grill Deco in any way? And he said, no, dear. To be honest, I was confused. And out of kindness, he asked questions to understand, which is what you do when you're not understanding something and you want to help somebody. You say, you've been run over? Do you need help?
He was just trying to help.
And her voice is all quivering, you know, because she sort of is like wants to scream and she wants to cry all at once. Peggy, my husband, out of kindness, he was asking questions because trying to understand. Like he knew nothing about it. He knew nothing about it. And I don't know why I was brought into it. It makes me concerned. And you know, it was a Spartan race, and he was running, and he was all on fumes. He needed his carbs, and he didn't know he was going to try to recommend a hospital to you. He was going to go to a clinic in Switzerland. That's all. He didn't know. But he's like,
are you done?
Peggy, the way to start a fight with anybody. Are you done?
Yeah.
Are you done?
Shannon's like, are you done? And Peggy goes, so you are upset.
Well, what I want to know, and her hands are waving and making circles again. She's like, what pot are you trying to stir? Which pot are you trying to stir?
And Peggy goes, my feeling pot.
And Lydia's like,
pot? My mom does pot. I don't approve, but hey, I'll stay at this party anyway. There's not drag queens all there.
You put up a video of Shannon saying,
ha, what kind of pot are you trying to stir?
And I couldn't tell if she was like flagging in an airplane onto the tarmac or creating her new Beyonce dance, but it was amazing. Those hand movements, it was like, this was like some, I don't know if it was like Twyla Tharp or just like this Beyonce, like single ladies, but not. It's like confused ladies. All the confused ladies. All the offended ladies. Put your hands waving. Stir the pot. If you liked it, then you should have stirred the pot.
If you liked it, you should have talked to David first instead of me.
She's like, listen here. Surfboard.
What is this grinding on wood?
What is this lemonade?
How could you be drunk in love? You can't drink love. I don't get it. Gia?
So go, Shannon. Go.
No ball in Beyonce.
No Beyonce. No stirring pot in ball.
So, my feelings pot.
So Shannon is just losing it. Really, again, all Shannon had to say was,
well, I'm sorry that he asked questions. He meant nothing by it. And sorry we got, you know, sorry there was some confusion. But she's just having a conniption fit.
Yeah.
And by Peggy the way, is loving it because Dika was like,
listen, if you want to still be on this show, you got to fight with someone. Do it with Shannon. She's crazy.
So Peggy's like, okay, I will sit there. What should I say? He's like,
do that thing where you say, are you done? Are you done? People hate that.
Okay, I'll do it.
Are you done? Are you like my phone when Megan calls? Just done? Jump off ledge and die? Done. So Shannon is like, feelings pot. And Peggy's like, you trust your husband? Has he ever lied to you about anything else? Shannon's like,
oh my God. Everyone's jaws just hit the floor. And Shannon's like, what the fuck?
Her hands are like doing the full like single ladies dance now. Like she's doing a little single ladies jazz hands, Sparky Pilastri.
She's like doing a backwards bend on a sports car. They're like, what is happening to her?
Why is she doing a little bird with her hands now?
It's flying away. My rage is flying away from my body right now. Do not even go there. Don't even go there, Peggy.
Do not go there, Peggy.
And Peggy's like, what? I don't know anything. And she goes,
yes, you do. So do not go there. And
she's like, my question is, are you done?
No. No, I'm not. The only thing I'm done with are the 40 to 50 negative thoughts I have a day about David and the affair. But don't worry, because we are so happy.
And then Peggy, you know, Peggy really is an asshole, and it makes me mad, well, not mad, sad, that she had such a sympathetic storyline coming into this, because Peggy really could have soared as just the biggest asshole on this show.
Yeah.
Because, of course, she knows why she shouldn't say something like that. She says it on purpose, and then she tells us, clearly, I struck a nerve by saying, do you trust your husband? Like, God forbid.
Yeah.
You ask if you trust your husband.
I think most people would have a nerve struck if someone asked that. You know, it is a pretty rude question, although it's, you know, understandable. And Shannon, though, I think the reason why Shannon had her nerve struck was because Shannon goes, I told you, so do not go there. So Shannon apparently told Peggy about the situation, like her issues with David. So that's why she's so mad.
Yes, fucking Peggy. And then Peggy's like, can I speak? Can I speak? Are you done? I want to make sure.
And so then Lydia now is like, okay, I'm going to jump in here. She's like, Shannon, you just talk for 30 minutes.
And then Shannon just looks at her like,
This one now. Goes,
well, don't mad dog me. Let her speak. She goes, oh, wow. Ha! I did not mad dog you, Lydia. And let me make it clear to you that the two that do not know me.
And then Lydia goes, oh, here we go.
She goes, do not tell me that I did something I didn't do. That's my hot button.
And she goes, well, when you get like this, it's my hot button. And then Shannon's like, oh, my God, someone else has a hot button. What do I say?
Megan's like, guys, I still don't know how to eat this tostada bowl. So, by the way, what does it mean to mad dog someone?
You're giving them a dirty look, like you're giving them that mad dog eye.
Because I just thought it was hilarious that when Shannon was like,
I am not trying to mad dog you, Lydia.
I just thought it was funny, the idea of the words mad dog coming out of Shannon in all, like, deep sincerity.
I am not mad dogging anyone. The only one I'm mad dogging is a Spartan race organization.
Meg's like, I'll crime dog you. You want me to crime dog you?
No, stay out of this.
I'll take a bite out of crime, but not this tostada bowl. It's too hard.
How do they make bowls out of tostadas?
Shannon's like, you don't know me. And Tamara's like, you are hung up on petty things, Shannon. Just let them talk, bitch. And Peggy's like, listen, I could be rude right now about this and tell you, honey, it's none of your business. I'm like, you are being rude. You're screaming, are you done, over and over again. Not that you're really wrong. And Shannon's like,
well, then why did he bring it up to my husband?
He didn't. He was talking and your husband butted in. Now, may I stick fork in you? Are you done?
Since when did you learn things?
Yeah, because Shannon's now, she's starting to cry. She's like, Lydia, I have an upset to, I have a right to be upset, Lydia. I have a right. And so Peggy's like, well, you know, like sort of what you just said. Deco was talking to Doug, and David butted in. And Shannon's like, well, then Deco should have asked David to leave. Peggy's like, well, Deco isn't rude like that. And so now, Shannon's now like, implications. And so now Megan's starting to get annoyed, because Peggy's trying to explain the situation, and like... And Megan's like, it's taking a long time. Can you, like, hurry it up? It's taking, like, 30 minutes for you to explain yourself, Peggy.
Shannon just starts losing it. She's like, yeah, it's like I was blindsided. And she goes,
you know what? You know what who's important here? Who cares about your feeling and your husband's feeling? I'm lucky to not be in chemo.
Let's talk about that.
It's like,
me?
Everyone stops because you can't fight with chemo.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, I like
everyone's just like, oh, shit. She's
I've been given a hot button and a chemo. Great, I have nothing to say.
And a mad dog.
Well, what I liked was that eventually both women realized they were fighting about a situation that they both were not there for, which is hilarious. No one seems to be acknowledging the fact that Deco wasn't trying to start shit with Shannon and he wasn't trying to come for David. He was basically saying, listen, I felt a certain sort of way. And then I spoke to Peggy, and then she got upset, and I realized I had started something, so I'm here to apologize to you. I'm sorry that I created a thing. And instead of Shannon being okay, well, maybe you should talk to David about it, or, like, yeah, like, you know, maybe in the future, you know, talk to David first, whatever. Shannon's like, why are you dragging me into it? So now it's become this whole thing, and so Peggy is just like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm pulling cancer card. I'm not going to chemo. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Shannon does, you know, what she does. She's like, well, I'm furious and could possibly pee right now, so I will be back. So she goes to the bathroom, and Tamara follows her, and she's like, don't let it get to you, bitch. I'm going to pee, okay? So then we hear Tamara peeing, and Shannon's like, well, it's just anger-making. It's anger-making is what it is. And Lydia's like, are they seven?
I need a plate. It's not my fucking plate.
I was going to throw that plate and say it's not my fucking plate,
But it was my fucking plate. It was. What am I supposed to do? It's like you're making...
What am I supposed to throw? A tostada bowl? It's a perfectly good tostada bowl. I don't want to throw that.
I'm not taking it out on the tostito bowl.
It's perfectly good. Chef Dan made a lovely tostada bowl, and I was halfway done with it. I'm not going to waste that. Poor Megan doesn't even know what to do with it. She thinks it's a leaf.
And then we've got Megan sitting over there who doesn't know what a taco salad is. I mean, Jesus.
You want to talk about a mad dog? It's me watching Megan navigating her way through a tostada bowl. I have a mad dog about that.
I'll tell you who's a mad dog. Archie, who's at home not with the tostada bowl. Okay? Now that's who's mad.
You know who's a mad dog? Me, when I get through that door and I have to walk through down that hallway in my heels. It's not easy. Huh?
So then she's still kind of freaking out. She's like, David was probably just trying to help her find a good cancer doctor, like we helped Brooks. Remember when we called all those doctors and said, have you ever seen Brooks?
He was just trying to get the Surgeon General on the phone, trying to help out. That's all. Cedars-Sinai. Sloan Kettering.
And back at the table, Peggy's like, I'm leaving because she left. She started it, and now I'm finishing it. And Lydia's like, yeah, we're going to go. And Deborah comes out of the bathroom, and she's like, sorry, it smells like asparagus in there, bitch.
Yeah, because Lydia goes over to the bathroom, and that's when, that's Tamara's telling it to Lydia, yeah.
Now, this is one little time where I guess Tamara makes sense later, but I'm not buying Tamara later. But she's like, I'm confused, because she hasn't said one thing about David, like, I don't get it. Like, what is this fight even about? And then Shannon comes out. She's like, we have good cancer doctors. And Lydia goes, I agree with that. Okay.
So then Lydia brings Shannon back to the table. And Lydia's like, I feel like she's calm and ready to speak. And Shannon's like, oh, don't say I'm calm and I'm ready to speak. I'm calm. I'm calm. Fucking bullshit. Yes.
Yeah, she storms super off calm. Going, fucking bullshit. I am calm. And Lydia's like, wouldn't Mystic Michaela see a crushing aura, which I didn't approve of psychically, but it's a mess. So Peggy and Shannon get in the car. Peggy and Shannon. Yeah, Peggy and Shannon go talk alone off to the side. And Shannon's like, how many times do I have to tell you my husband does not like to grill?
She's like, there's a lot of like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, well, this is where Peggy, instead of fighting, she's going to say, are you okay? Are you going crazy right now?
Which is not the thing to do. This technique works well for you. So then Shannon's like,
Peggy, I have been nothing but caring for you. I have been helpful to you. I have been supportive. I never threw your plate. Not once. I've supported both colors of your car. I've been a great, great friend.
So Peggy's like, what should I do next? Oh, I know. I cry. He's like,
and then Shannon's like, wait, are you okay? What's going on? She's like, no, I cannot talk about it. She's like, what's happening here? What is going on? I have been nothing but there for you, Peggy. Like, which part was that? Was it the part at the restaurant where you were telling everyone, you were suggesting that she's
her cancer iffy story
on her cancer story?
Yeah.
So Shannon's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
So Peggy now is like, I'm going. So now Shannon's fully like, okay, she's like, I don't know what's happening. I thought I was here for a tostada bowl and an aura reading, and now I'm being attacked for like stirring shit up with David, and now I'm making Peggy cry, and now like I'm somehow like spreading bad cancer stuff, bad cancer juju around her. I didn't do anything. What's going on? She like can't process all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. My God.
It is a lot. Anything wrong?
Poor Shannon. Now, this is too much for her. They have to be gentler to our dear Shannon.
Yeah, she's just starting to lose it. And she said at one point, she's like, I'm sick of being the one that everyone's trying to make into the fucking asshole. And Tamara's like, stop acting like one.
Well, nobody stuck up for me. It was just me against Peggy.
And she's like standing in the garage for some reason.
She's just like, she managed to like cover a lot of territory in this house. Like every time she says a line, she's in a new room. And she's like, at one point, she then darts across the room and Tamara's going after her. And Shannon's like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm done. And I was like, now, Shannon, I hate to say this. I know this is your least favorite thing to ever hear, and I'm not doing it to be mean, But your freak out right now is very Vicky Gunvalson. It's very Vicky.
Oh my God, she would kill you if she heard that.
And it's not to be mean. I'm just saying, like, you know, some perspective. Because when she said, "I don't want to talk to anyone, I'm done," that's like a full-on Vicky Gunvalson line.
Well, I see what she's saying, because people do keep kind of coming for her, but she's just losing it. It's like all these fights are because she's just losing her temper over silly things, and she's taking everything so crazy personally. And she's like, how many people are going to try and paint me as crazy? It's like, you are painting yourself as crazy, okay? These are the dumbest fights I've ever heard. Well, and yes, she's like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And Tamara's like, stop, go sleeveless, cut out your shoulders. Like, how long do you have to live here before you learn?
It's disgusting. Don't have a heart on your sleeve. It's bloody. No, I mean, Shannon definitely has to learn not to take so many things personally. So that way she's like, you know, when Peggy says these things, she doesn't think, like, it's a personal attack. But she's in a sensitive place, as everyone says later. She's in, like, a sensitive emotional place. And, like, anything is gonna set her off. And she's just at a table with personalities that are going to aggravate her mental state. You have Lydia, who's just like, which is, like, the last sort of vibe you want to hear when you're sensitive. And you have Peggy, who just is, like, has no emotion. And so that you'll automatically read that as cold when you're feeling sensitive. So it's just like a clusterfuck of things for Shannon, and she just can't get out of her own way. But that's why we love
her.
She's
basically just losing it. Like, when someone accuses me of things that I didn't do. I was like, this is missing a big straw hat. That's what this is missing this night.
And now she's doing that.
No one stuck up for me. No one. No one. Camera's no like, one.
Excuse me, I stuck up for you. No, you didn't. When did you stick up for her? You were the one to tell her. You were telling her to shut up at the table. Now, granted, that's why I put a little place card on that, because she did say later, like, I don't get it. Like, what about David?
So while Lydia's comforting Peggy's gone out to the car, and Lydia's comforting her out there, and meanwhile inside, Shannon's doing this thing like you were saying about everyone's calling me crazy, and Shannon's like, when someone accuses me of doing something evil and nasty, she starts screaming, and Megan's like, but you weren't accused. No one accused you. Even I know that, and I can't even figure out a tostada bowl.
Yeah, Megan's like, you wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
So like, then you wouldn't stop. I still don't know how to work this tostada thing. No one will teach me because you won't stop talking. Hashtag justice. Blah.
So they're still, like, yelling about all this stuff. And Megan goes, guys, if this baby wakes up, I'm going to kill you both. Like, this will look like nothing compared to what I'm going to bring. Everyone's like, uh-huh. Anyway.
No one cares. It's my nature!
She just keeps yelling. So then everything changes suddenly, and Shannon's like, well, Chef David, thank you so much. Mystic Michaela, what a lovely girl. Love your shoulders. Thanks for showing those off. What a wonderful night.
Thank you so much for having me. Really, I mean it. Adieu, bonjour.
And then Mystic Michaela's like,
your friends are great.
So the next day we get to Shannon and Tamara. Now we're at Tamara's house, and Tamara is just not having it. Okay, so far in this episode she's thrown her cell phone at a glitter pillow and said fuck you about Shannon, almost turned on her at the party, and now we're at her house, and they're having this awkward small talk where Shannon's like, wow
flowers, how pretty. Oh, is that, you have boxes in your house. Whoa.
Is that a new fleur-de-lis you have up there? Oh, it says Diva on it. That's original. That's great, Tamara.
Oh, you know what I love about your apartment? That you have wallpaper. Wow! Great! Good for you, Tamara!
So Tamara's like, great batch news, batch. Sydney texted me, and she invited me to her graduation. So she's like all excited, which is a very happy moment, because I do think this whole situation with her daughter is very sad. So I was like actually happy for Tamara, but then it was sort of awkward because as anyone who's following this show in the press knows that like Sydney hates her mom again, even more than before. So poor Tamara's like all excited. She's like, see, Jesus told me if I was patient, she would come back to me. It all works out in the end. Everything's fixed. Life is wonderful. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and also because the reason, supposedly, this is what we hear from blogs, we don't know anything inside, but supposedly the reason that the daughter is so mad is because all she wants Tamara to do is stop talking about her on the show, stop bringing her up on the show, stop using her for a storyline, and Tamara will not stop. It's like the second the daughter reaches out and says, okay, you can come, she's like, my daughter said I could come. Yay, Jesus. It's like, oh my God, Tamara, Jesus Christ.
So Tamara basically uses this as a jumping off point to console Shannon. She's like, I guess what I've learned is that, like, if you're patient, everything will work out. So, like, you and David, like, it's gonna work out. So now Shannon starts to get sad about David, and she's saying how she's been thinking about the affair more, and how she's been feeling lonely, and things seemed like they were so good last year, but now they're bad again. And you know, Tamara's correct, because she says... She's like, yeah, I can tell that you're unhappy and lonely because it's coming out in strange, weird ways. And then we see a montage of Shannon losing her shit over stupid stuff.
And then one of Tamara, because Tamara's like,
well, you know what I learned? That all of my terrible personality flaws were because of a man and me getting over him.
And then Tamara gets her own montage and it's screaming at Gina and throwing wine.
Yes.
And then Gina, like, storming off like, okay, you got me with that wine. I guess I'm going to leave now. And her gay being like, that's why you're getting divorced, and throws his wine at her.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's all very convenient to just sweep that under rug. Like, I was stressed. What? I was just stressed out, bitch. So Shannon, this was sad. And it was Shannon's very like, sad. Well, this can't affect my happiness. Now what's going to affect my happiness is a career. Healthy eating. Yeah. Yay, restaurant. Happy hour menus.
But my heart did break for Shannon because she's sitting there saying how basically she and David are just roommates. And I feel bad. I feel like, you know, as much as we talk, you know, all this, like, shit about Shannon, we make fun of her, like, histrionic reactions to everything, you know, for me, I love Shannon. She's always been one of my favorites. I feel like she has had some faults this season that I haven't been, like, on board with, but I still love her, and I don't know, I feel so bad that she's stuck in this situation with her husband, and I think that's always been her appeal, is that she has, like, very real stuff going on, and she's very vulnerable, and she allows us to see that. So I felt so bad when she was saying this stuff, even though we all
I love Shannon being on this show, and I hope she stays on this show, but part of it is just having an opinion on everything that's going on. I mean, Shannon, yes, of course she's gone through a lot of shit with David, and David seems like a total dickwad, so, you know, I'm in the leave David camp myself. But we also see Shannon just having a fit over the tiniest things and going into histrionics. And it's not like it's the first time. It's every season. Which, granted, every season this stuff has been going on with David as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, these shows, it's like you got to love them and not love them at times. Because when they really put all their shit out there, they put all their shit out. And God knows she does.
Well, when Shannon loses her shit, I mean, do you notice that, like, every time Shannon truly loses her shit, those are, like, the only good episodes, at least this season, you know? So, like, she does lose it over stupid shit, but it's always hilarious and, like, great for us.
Yeah, like, I think it's hilarious this season. People can change so quickly on the fan train, you know?
Yeah.
Like, last year, everyone hated Kelly, and this year, everyone loves Kelly, because Kelly's, for the most part, staying sober and not fighting with people.
Exactly.
Then what does that bring? You know, it's like they like her now. They're not complaining about her, but it's way less fights for the show.
Exactly. And also, Vicky has been sort of like neutered, right? Because no one's really shooting with her. She's been stuck in these boring corners of every episode. And people forget that when Vicky loses her shit, how deeply entertaining that is. You know, that entire scream montage, they had to put that in there because we're not getting her screaming. We're not getting her screaming because she's barely in any scenes. And when she screams, she is... Like, it's just so great when she loses her shit. And, you know, it's kind of funny because these people are real people. And I would never tell anyone to become friends with Vicky because she has done horrible things and has spread horrible rumors. And, like, why would anyone be friends with that? But you are also on a TV show. And part of being on a TV show is you have to make a good TV show. And that's what's funny about reality TV. You want it to be authentic, but you also want it to be entertaining. And at this point, I say... Follow the Lisa Rinna lead, swallow your pride, and fake it till you make it. You think Lisa Rinna wants to hang out with Lisa Vanderpump? Hell no. But she's like, I know, it makes good TV, so I'm going to do it. And these ladies have to welcome Vicky back into the fold. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, But
well, the rumor there is Vicky's out. I mean, Vicky's pretty much screwed now, because it's not only that they're refusing to film with Vicky, she's refusing to film with them too.
Yeah,
like she had a really awkward Watch What Happens, which I just read about, but where Annie's just apparently giving her shit the entire time, and she's getting mad because she didn't get to sit in the center chair because Rita Wilson did instead. Mm. And he was like, well, you know, people are leaving you out of shooting or something. And she's like, oh, no, I'm the one, you know, because they all want to be in my scenes. It's like, oh, my God, Vicky. Yeah. Or like they want to be in my group. It's not that I want to be in their group. They want to be in my group. It's like, oh, you are so neurotic. She's just becoming such a huge pain in the ass that it's going to work. And I don't think it's only that other people are icing her out. It's that she's doing it, too, and she won't bend.
Right. You're right. You're right. And, you know, she sounds like she's a pain in the ass to deal with on production end. So she'll get the boot. But I feel like it won't be a permanent boot. I don't think it'll be a permanent boot. I think she'll come back because she's still Vicky.
I hope not, because Vicky is Vicky has done some of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on TV. But, God, she makes me laugh. Like,
yeah,
that's another example. It's like, it's not really about love or hate. It's like, she's really good for this show, I think.
I think so, too. And I hope they're able to sort of figure it out, get this cast chemistry back again. I mean, there's obviously they're capable of it, because tonight's episode is really funny. And it's not even over yet, because now we have, like, the denouement of the episode, which is everyone packing for Iceland. And Vicky's packing. She's like, is there a place to whoop it up there? Is there a volcano where I can whoop it up? A spa? Whoop. How do you say whoop in Bjork?
Whoop, whoop. Is there an Iceland lays? Do they have guacamole in Iceland?
How do you say andalays in Iceland? So Kelly, meanwhile, she's thinking about wearing a fur, and Bobby's like, "Huh? Well, sorry, I started doing Shannon." I was like, "Well, who knows it? Who knows if it's fur? You don't have to say it's fur. Just say it's fake."
Oh, God. She is so funny.
God, Kelly, just wear whatever you want. They don't got to know it's fur. Just tell them it's Old Navy fleece. What do they know?
And Kelly's like, I'm going to say I'm a PETA, which I didn't understand what that meant. Did you?
PETA as in people for the ethical treatment of animals?
Yeah, but she said...
Oh, well, she said, I'm going to say I'm a PETA. People eating tasty animals.
Yeah, people That's eating what she tasty said. Animals.
I'm like, good luck on the internet now. I did actually find it funny that there was like a celebrity willing to just like laugh at PETA. I'm not saying I laugh at PETA, but so many celebrities are like, oh, PETA. Like, you have to like, because like the moment you get on PETA's bad side, it's like, oh no. So I thought it was funny that she's like, fuck PETA.
I know, such a delicious bread turning against you at any
I almost moment. Went to you know, PETA. Remember what's in that place that you took me to that I now love? PETA Grill.
PETA Grill.
I almost went on Sunday and I thought of you, and I was like, I can't go without Ronnie.
Oh, God, I love that place. I almost ordered from them the other day, but they're so expensive to order from.
So now Shannon's packing, and Dave is just like totally disinterested. He's just munching away on chips. And then, like
her
Shannon...
biggest pet peeve ever is him just standing there eating chips and not saying anything.
I know. And I don't even remember what she's asked. She's like, huh, I don't even know how I'm going to fit everything. I'm like, these two jackets alone fill up the whole suitcase. He's like,
yeah.
And she just stares at him.
Well, I can't fit into anything. And then he's just looking at her eating chips, and she just stares at him.
She's just like, you're really going to eat those baked Lays right in front of me again. And they throw a flashback of her asking him about something else. And he's just like, staring vacantly, wondering about his next life decision. Are you going to remember to bring more than two bottles of wine for our dinner party tonight?
I just wrote chip triggered. I love chip triggering. It's so funny. And he goes,
dear, well, maybe you don't have to pack that much. Do they have stores in Iceland?
And she goes,
no. You go to the market and you trade loaves, David. That's what you do.
And another thing, David, how do you think I'm going to get all that fucking new clothes from Iceland back to LA, you stupid fucking idiot, David? I mean, I
just
love you.
Just them sitting there staring at each other deadpan while he chews those fucking chips. That shit was good. That was gold. So Doug and Lydia's like, who cares? So over at Peggy and Dico's, Peggy's like, arigato. She's like working at a sushi restaurant something.
Let's have a fun, spontaneous moment, Dico.
I like when she looks at her suitcase and it has nothing in it, and she goes, it looks too empty. Because there's nothing in it.
Because it is empty.
So Deco's like, I'm going to get in the suitcase! And then, he's basically pulling a Taylor.
Yeah, they're being like, excuse me, burps. He's like, they're just being like, hilarious and wacky. And then like, Coco, Coco. And then Coco comes in. And then they're just like all talking. And then Peggy starts kissing Coco because, you know, he's just so adorable and cute. She's like, oh, Coco, Coco. No ball like, in house, but many kisses, Coco. Many, many kisses.
And then, of course, what every kid wants to hear, their mom's drama with some rando friend that they don't care about. She's like, well, I'm excited for Iceland, but not excited for Shannon. And then the kid goes, what, you got beef? And Coco's like, beef?
Yeah, Peggy, beef! Peggy says she has a beef with Shannon. And Coco's, he's like, real beef? What is beef? Real beef?
Hamburger beef or steak beef? I want beef.
And she's like, ribeye. That's true ribeye. Something.
Oh, like, that's beef? Right. I have to remember. I don't know these phrases. What is beef? Coco, stop stealing line. What is beef?
You don't know these phrases!
No beef, the beef in house, Coco. No beef in house.
Where is the beef? Who is this Wendy? And where is her beef?
Oh, you don't understand these phrases!
Mommy, are you going to have a barbecue with Shannon? With Aunt Shannon, because you guys both have beef, Mommy.
Coco wants barbecue with our beef, Shannon.
Huh? That's interesting. Nope. Yeah, you're accusing me of stealing beef?
No, sir.
So at the airport, Megan's like, I'm Rob Aspen. It's me. Hey, look, it's me, Megan. I have Aspen and my nanny because, like, I have to breastfeed. And Vicky's like, ha!
Really? Really? Ha! God.
And then they basically just get on the plane and go, right? Vicky sits in some champagne that Kelly spilled on her seat, and that cracks Kelly up, probably for the entire 20-something hour flight to Ireland.
Kelly's like, hey, remember when I spilled champagne in your seat, you sat in it? She probably said it just like that, too.
Hey, look down. Like, you know, she's like, hey, you got something on your shirt.
Tricked ya.
Yeah, Kelly's going to walk behind people the whole time, kicking them in their butt, like from their side. Being like, who kicked you? I don't know. I didn't see it. I love that when they're like, next week, and they show them in Iceland, and Shannon goes, we're in Iceland. Well, thanks for the narration, editors.
Look, we're in Iceland.
But Lydia is cranky again. I mean, I love cranky Lydia. I don't know why she waited all season to start being cranky. This is what we wanted. She, like, throws a menu at Shannon, and Shannon basically acts like she's been shot in the stomach.
Oh, she threw a menu at me.
Lydia is basically taking out whatever mommy issues she has. Lydia acts like a teenage girl around Shannon. She's just like,
she's cranky and insolent and like, whatever, which normally is really annoying, but it's like what this show needs right now, so I'm supportive of it.
Yeah, and Shannon's like, wow,
I'm sorry for trying to be the best mother I could. Give me a little credit.
Give me credit, won't you? I've heard this speech before, Shannon.
If we don't bring at least one 80s or 90s movie into every reference. Single... And the same exact movies every time, too.
And the same exact line every time. It's like Soap Dish. Soap Dish, Big Business. I will occasionally try to bring some Big Business into it. Not Big Business. Bullets Over Broadway. I also enjoy doing that.
Who is Charmed! She? Who is Charmed!
She? You know, Charmed. I love... In my head, I do it all the time. The moment when, after their like first rehearsal with Olive and Diane Weiss, Helen Sinclair, and what's his face are like sitting at a bar and they're just like having idle talk and like, so is Love of Day. Who is she? I mean, who is she? I know that was a long way to go for that setup, but it's like important that people understand the reference because I want to start using it a lot in this podcast.
Charmed.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Orange County, don't it, Ben?
You know, it certainly does. It certainly do.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us today. We will be back tomorrow with an epic recap of Real Housewives of Dallas.
My God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's going to be so good. Until then, go get tickets for Crappens Live at watchwhatcrappens.com. Thank you for everything you do for us. This week's bonus was a Top Chef cast breakdown. So go listen to that.
I forgot
that
about
that today as well. So if you want that, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
So good.
And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Get excited. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.